Hello and welcome to Jay's Talk with Blair and Barker, wherever you are across this country. If you're watching us on TV or listening to us on the Sportsnet Radio Network, of course, our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan in Toronto. Join the conversation. The numbers are 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. Call us and say something that will make Kevin and myself feel a little bit better after watching the Baltimore Orioles. I'm just going to say it. Embarrass the Toronto Blue Jays.
Well said.
6-1. The Orioles have taken 3 of 4 games in this series. Folks, the Toronto Blue Jays, team that a lot of people thought had a shot at going to the World Series, they're not even good enough to win the American League East. I can't put it any other way. They're 2-8 this year against the Baltimore Orioles, 3-4 against Tampa, 0-7 against Boston, 3-4 against the Yankees. That's 8-23 inside the division. And the good news is that they got 3 games in Boston starting tomorrow. I mean, Kevin, look, this was, if you've listened to the show or watched Blair and Barker, you might as well just rerun what we've been saying for the past 3 months. Again, this team can't get a hit with runners in scoring position. Again, the middle of the order, embarrassing. That's the word that comes to mind. 1-for-11 with 5 strikeouts today. They did drive in a run, a bloop RBI off the bat of Vladdy. Kevin, I know you talked about this morning. They moved George Springer into the cleanup spot. Obviously, they don't have their best player this year, Bo Bichette. He's out for a couple of weeks. But I don't know what else John Schneider does here. The trade deadline's passed. Paul DeJong, great, I guess. I just don't know what this team does. It gets back to what we've said for the past couple of days. I mean, Vladdy's got to get going, or this team is going to be life and death to make the playoffs this year.
Okay, just look at the first inning. We talk about it all the time. I got to turn it around. Oh, they're going to turn it around. Oh, the lineup, the names in the back of the jersey, they're good enough to do it. Say the first inning. You got first and second with nobody out. Vladdy comes up, chases the first pitch. That's the word. Chases the first pitch. Springer comes up and his at bat and over swings and gets out. Matt Chapman comes up and obviously is guessing spin because of how many fastballs he took in the middle of the strike zone. There is 3 different problems. How do you fix that? Like, if it's one consistent thing where the approach is, I'm guessing too much, and that's lineup hole that everybody goes up with dudes in scoring position and guesses too much, then maybe you can have a sit down with everybody and go, hey, why don't you look fastball down the middle because you're not good enough to hit a breaking ball anyway. Why are you sitting on it? Flaherty's got a pretty good slider. Flaherty's got good change of speed on his knuckle curveball. Why do you think all of a sudden you're the dude that can hit it? That's the thing here is consistently 1 through 9, it's different problems for everybody. It's just not one thing. It's overswinging. It's chasing. It's guessing. Like, whatever they're talking about to the guys that matter, because the first inning and the sixth inning, it seems to be the same dudes all the time doing the same things over and over again. So this is what I said. I don't know what gives fans of the Blue Jays confidence in the lineup, especially the guys that matter, thinking that this is going to turn around all of a sudden. Like, because of what you're seeing consistently with the approaches that are different for everybody. So, yeah, it's got to be frustrating. The pitching's good enough. Like, Kevin Gausman worked through that. Like, it's to even give him a chance leaving the game when you are 11-for-22 throwing strike one when you've thrown 6 3-ball counts, when 6 of your 8 hits are with 2 strikes. Coming into today, batters with 2 strikes are hitting 111 off him. Didn't have his stuff. Like, the velocity, the location, the trickery of the fastball down because of the lanes on the split finger. The slider was basically non-existent because there wasn't enough righties for him to get a feel for throwing that. For unpredictability early in counts, he fought through it. He gave him a chance. Sooner than later, the other part of the Blue Jays game has to step up, and I just don't know how you see it with all the woes that are different for each guy when they walk to the plate. So, yeah, it's frustrating. And, again, they're going to the Red Sox, who like facing the Blue Jays. So how do we think the outcome will be any different there? It'll be interesting.
Well, and this is the thing to keep in mind. The Jays are going into Boston for three games, and we mentioned Boston is 7-0 against the Jays this year. The Red Sox are still behind the Jays, but their schedule after this homestand against Toronto is unbelievably soft. They've got Washington. They've got Kansas City. They've got Detroit for 10 games. They've got 13 games, including a series against a team that they can't lose to this year. If you're the Boston Red Sox, you might be looking at this and going, well, maybe go 10-3 here.
Let me ask you a question.
You go 9-4 here.
We were talking about this before we came on air.
Good grief.
You would think because of the other teams that are behind them are have a couple of wins less than the Blue Jays, you would think 90 wins would get you in. Yeah. They got 52 games left. Do you think the Blue Jays offensively can muster enough to help them win 30 more games? That's the thing you got to ask yourself. 30 more wins. The pitching's good enough. The defense is good enough. The base running, for the most part, most of the time, is good enough. It's one problem. Do you think they can clean that up? I mean, and light candles enough to help them win 30 games? That's the question you got to ask yourself.
They've been the same team all year, and they've won 60 games. So I don't see why. My concern about this, though, is that this team, I think, is getting worse offensively.
Sure looks that way.
Than it is.
Oh,
getting
yeah.
better.
Oh, yeah.
I can't put it any other way.
If we're talking about that the way we're talking about it, I've been in locker rooms, they're talking about it. And when you talk about it and you bring it to your attention and you're standing on the on-deck circle, and I've said this to you before, when you see that dude get a hit and now that guy's running to second and there's a little doubt creeping in before you actually walk to the plate, and you know as well as anybody, you've covered enough hitters and talked to enough hitters. If you don't have enough confidence to have a quality at bat, be a competitive out before you walk to the plate, it's sort of starting to look like chase at bats, over swinging at bats, guessing at bats, and then you don't score runs. You don't beat good teams.
You know, and the other thing too, the Jays here, as bad as they were offensively, they were still in the game.
No question.
Up to the seventh inning. Then Paul DeJong, their trade deadline acquisition, makes the wrong decision on the wheel play on a bunt. That leads to an error by Matt Chapman. That was an awful look. That was a type of mistake you might see a team make in spring training. The wheel play is a pretty basic play. And that, you know, again, the Orioles get two runs in that inning. And, you know, Thomas Hatch is in the game by that point. I mean, there's a reason they call him Thomas Down the Hatch. There's a reason that's his nickname. And the Jays end up losing 6-1-4-1-6-8-7-0-0-5-90, *591-888-666-0590. Let's go all the way to Hinton, Alberta. Jimmy, what's up, Jimmy?
Jimmy.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I just want to bring everybody back to the very first episode of Blair and Barker this year.
Oh, my God.
And the mayor of Backleg City said that all we needed was a couple of really good bullpen pieces. We got to stay positive and believe that he knows what he's talking about. Mm. I really think we're going to pull through this, guys.
Go ahead, Kev.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's not hurting. The question you got to ask yourself, Jimmy, and it's a good call. We appreciate you bringing that up. I think it's about Jordan Hicks. You ask yourself, do you think he can be a no-brainer for the Blue Jays? That's sort of what they need, right? Again, they just need help. Every pitch that they throw, sooner than later, a starter is going to have a bad outing and throw 42 pitches in the second inning, and the lineup's going to have to step up. The approaches in August with dudes who have had success in the past have to get better. I'm with you. When I said that, I was saying that because I thought their offense would be really good on top of that, right?
Now you've got
no-brainers. You can make it a high school game. You can outscore people when you have to. Every once in a while, your rotation's just going to have a hiccup. That's what I was talking about. Nobody could say that they were going to come out there and have the at-bats that they're having with runners in scoring position. The luck part of it for me is over. It's not luck anymore.
No.
They're getting the dudes up they need to get up. They're just not having good at-bats.
They've got the folks in charge of their hitting strategy. I mean, I don't know what they're thinking of, but they've taken some pretty good hitters and turned them into, I wouldn't say offensive non-entities, but they've turned Vladdy into just another guy. Yep. Does Vladdy scare you right now coming up the plate if you're an opposing team?
I think it's more you don't have to throw him a strike.
So he doesn't scare you. I look at this lineup, and I had a couple of people criticize me the other day on Twitter because, you know, I'd said that the lesson of the trade deadline was don't put together a fundamentally flawed lineup and think, well, it's okay, we can fix it at the trade deadline. You can't do that when there are a bunch of teams in contention and when there are two really weak divisions where 500 might get you a division title. And I had a couple of people say, well, wait a minute, weren't you the guy saying that this lineup was good enough to possibly win a World Series this year? And my response was, yeah, but you know what? I'm not supposed to know as much as the dudes in the khakis in the Jays front office, right? Yeah. Those are the guys who are paid to put this lineup together. And clearly it's not good enough. It just isn't. And I mean, Ross Atkins is right. After the trade deadline, it's going to come down to Guerrero, Springer, and Chapman. It really is. No excuses here. They're getting a career year or a near career year out of Whit Merrifield, right? Danny Jansen's hitting home runs. Bo Bichette is having an MVP caliber year, was before his injury. Folks, this team has been, other than Bo's injury, this team's been really healthy. I don't think there's a team in baseball that has had as many batters hit in the arm, hit on the wrist, hit on the hand, and not get hurt.
Yeah.
They've had George Springer healthy all year. Like, I look at this team, and the only thing I can say is the people who put this lineup together so far have badly, badly miscalculated how good the lineup is. And I'll get back to this. There is a real chance that by the end of next week, this is the fourth place team in the American League East, and the Baltimore Red Sox are ahead of them. Now, we can sit here and say there's no guarantee that you're going to win the division. I get that. But I'm willing to bet there are no Blue Jays fans out there. Hell, I'm willing to bet there are very few national observers out there who envisioned a time where the Jays would be into August in fourth place in this division.
Yeah, I think it's frustrating because it's like Groundhog Day. It's
well, it's hard. Let's face it, it's a hard watch.
It is.
It's a hard watch.
It's sort of the same way you get them out all the time. When the at-bats matter the most, that for me is what's very frustrating. Springer's a good hitter. He's a good player. Vladdy's obviously a really good hitter. Matt Chapman's had some really good offensive years. It's the thing of how you consistently get them out over and over and over the same way. That's the frustrating part. I'll give pitchers credit that they are really good. They're probably better than they've ever been. But it's the game of adjustments. And when you consistently do the same thing over and over again, that for me is it something that they're talking about off the field, or is it just one of those years where everybody's sort of going in opposite directions and it is what it is?
Russ in Toronto, you're on Jay's Talk with Blair and Barker. I know that was one of the questions you wanted to ask Kevin. I'm going to flip it on the head, Russ. Okay, we've seen George Springer move into the cleanup spot. We know Bo's out and everything. Do you have any answers?
Then they don't ask me, so I don't. But I'll tell you something else, okay? First of all, I think you guys summed it up. The season was summed up today. First inning, first and third, one out. You can't get the guy home. First and third, Baltimore. Second inning, they get a hit. They get the run. But let me tell you something. The embarrassment of this thing is, first of all, the Orioles would have had many more runs if they had Cedric Mullins there. He wouldn't have been hitting ninth, but they had a center fielder who couldn't hit, bases loaded, one out twice, and he can't. They're going to get better when Mullins comes back.
Oh, yes.
If you remember the first series, that 8-3 game in the 11 innings, he had like four or five hits that game. He killed the Blue Jays. But I'll tell you the more embarrassing. If you came in here, you played the Orioles 10 times. Now, they have a good lineup. No, nothing to talk about. A lot of good young hitters. I don't think they're pitching. Anybody's thinking it's Steve Stone, Scott McGregor, Mike Flanagan, and Jim Palmer.
No, it's not.
I don't think.
Thank God.
Now, let me tell you something. Of the ten games, the Blue Jays have scored three runs, three times. One of them, they were losing like 11-2 and lost 11-6. That was the game Bassett pitched the first game in Baltimore.
Right.
One of them was last night, where they had three hits and they scored four runs. They can't hit. It's like it's not Sandy Koufax here. What is – it's terrible.
Yeah.
It's just you see these runs, it's two runs, it's three runs, and I'm sick of hearing the back of the baseball card because you know what? We're almost 75% into the season. I'm done with the back of the baseball card. It's not there this year. And you know what? Without Bichette, does Guerrero still – Guerrero, he comes up, you're hoping. But listen, he dropped 16 homers last year, 48 to 32 last year. I don't know. You know, we can make a debate if it was Buffalo and it was Florida. And everyone said he would get better because he was – you know, they were running around, you know, all those different cities the year of the pandemic. But he didn't get – and this year he's probably going to hit 25 maybe. But I know we keep on talking about Chapman, but to be fair, Chapman is a 230 hitter.
Yes.
He's hitting 260. That's what he is. He's not, I can't rely on this guy. This guy could be a nice complimentary piece to get a big hit. I can't rely on him to be one of the main cogs in the lineup because he's never been that.
Russ, that's a really, really good point. Several really good points. Thank you very, very much for the call. And I should have mentioned that. Yeah, Matt Chapman's having a career offensive year as well, or close to it. You're the one that was telling me this. Did you think Matt Chapman is going to hit 260 at any point this year?
Yeah, I think they put him in a run-producing position in the lineup, and he's hitting somewhere around 215. And we saw the at-bats the way they look today. I mean, he took three fastballs that you should take good passes on.
Three strikeouts today.
And, oh, by the way,
two strikeouts looking.
The first at-bat, the balls are down. Like, his kryptonite is the fastball up, high velocity up.
Yeah.
Above the thigh, above the belt, the first three pitches of the first at bat were not there. That's the thing, right? It's the guessing, it's the approaches, it's
what I also wanted to ask you about, Kevin, is now this is Jack Flaherty's first start. He was the only trade acquisition that the Orioles made at the deadline, and I know there are people out there that are saying it's an underwhelming addition. You know, people were talking about the Orioles with Justin Verlander and Dylan Cease, and the Orioles, again, we have to remember this. They're a year ahead of where they thought they'd be. And it's true. If the playoffs started right now, I guess Kyle Gibson's their opening day starter or their first game one starter. But what I liked about the Jack Flaherty acquisition is I don't think they got him to be the guy. The Orioles are performing a balancing act right now. They're trying to get through this year with a youngish rotation and a bullpen that was overworked early in the year. They are they're trying to get outs. That's what they want from Jack Flaherty. They want outs. They want innings. And, I mean, my goodness, Kevin, the first inning today, I thought, okay, maybe he's a little overamped. He was hitting, what was he? He hit 96 today. I think he's usually 93. And I kind of thought in that first inning, Merrifield single, belt walks, I'm thinking, okay, we've seen this happen. Guy joins a new team. I mean, it's been a whirlwind 48 hours for him. Second inning, strikeout, it's Kirk. Varsho grounds out. DeJong strikes out.
Mm-hmm.
Third inning, strikeout, fly to right, pop up the second baseman. Fourth inning, strikeout, fly ball to center, fly ball to left. He had like 65 pitches going in the sixth inning or something like that.
Yeah, okay, if you're gonna bet your check, who you betting it on because of who the Astros got or who the Orioles got. I know who I'm betting on. I'm betting on the Astros.
I'll tell you what, though.
That's who I'm betting on because now they have a game one and a game seven
maybe
starter.
Maybe. I'm telling
that's
you, though.
That's what you're banking it on.
This lineup's.
Go on. What do you always say in the playoffs?
This lineup,
good pitching beats good hitting. That's the thing, right?
Lineup might be better than the Astros.
Well, we'll
lineup.
See. That's the thing.
And it might
if
be.
If I'm putting Flaherty up against Verlander, who you betting on?
Well, you did see Justin Verlander pooch it last year in the postseason. He is
160
years
old. You know who you're betting on.
I know I'm betting. Let's go to Edmonton. Cal in Edmonton? Kai in Edmonton? Cal, close enough. Go ahead, Cal.
Cal. Hey, so, you know, just on that lines that Kevin talking about pitching, winning in the playoffs, let's say the Blue Jays get to the playoffs, you still have to hit, right?
Yeah.
Now, the problem is that I don't know how many times I've said this to my friends, in the last 2-3 years since this hitting coach has taken over, they make the other pitcher on the other team look like an all-star every single night. I don't know how many times I've seen that. And it's just so frustrating. And I honestly think the last time they had good approaches with these young guys coming up was when Dante Bichette was a part of the team, whether it's
right.
consulting or hitting coach or whatnot. So I honestly think that there is something to this hitting philosophy or whatever is going on. These guys can not all be bad at the same time. They are the easiest team to pitch to, as you guys have mentioned. I can guarantee you right now, Boston is telling their pitchers, outside, soft outside, let them get themselves out. They don't hit the ball the other way. They don't make that the adjustment. Get your hits the other way, then they'll start pitching you differently.
But I mean, I think
Blue Jays do not waver from their approach.
Yeah.
And Schneider said this all the time. We have an approach, we're sticking to it, but you got to adjust in the game, and they don't do it. And it's so frustrating.
Well, you know, thanks for the call, Callie. You know, I mean, who do you blame? There's the hitting coach, there's the hitting strategist, there's the assistant hitting coach. Don Mattingly's the bench coach. I mean, I've got to think at some point he's got some input in this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who you blame.
Well, I think early in the season, because of who they started hitting cleanup, you know who you can point the finger at. Right. Varsho, that's a lot to ask. That got off to a very bad start just by putting him in positions like that. I blame the player. I've been in enough locker rooms, and if I don't like what somebody's selling to me, I ain't going to walk up there with it. A C-ball, hit ball. How about that? Look for fastball right down the middle. Yeah. All that other stuff you've been doing ain't working.
Kevin,
change it up. Look right down the middle till you get to two strikes. Even Buck said that today.
Yeah.
Why isn't it? Can it be that simple? They're saying that about the Orioles. They're not swinging at anything other than a fastball until they get to two strikes. It's like genius. It makes total sense. That's how you have competitive, tough outs. That for me, you can blame the hitting coach. You can blame all the other nine hitting coaches if you want. For me, I'm not. The dudes in the lineup have been around long enough to know.
Well, that was
that you can't teach experience. If what they're selling to you is not working because you've been there and done it before, then don't do it.
That's the point I was going to make. Guerrero, Springer, and Chapman. Guerrero's not a kid anymore. He's been around long enough. He's making enough money to give you the idea that he's not a kid. Guerrero, Springer, Chapman. If they don't like what they're being told, then don't do it.
So you're telling me Bo's the only one not listening?
You know what I think about Bo. I just think Bo is such a freak that I think Bo just absorbs stuff. He listens, and then he goes out and takes 1,000 ground balls and goes and does what he has to do in the cage and off the tee, whatever it is. Bo is Bo. Bo is on a different level.
He is right
than
now.
Than these guys.
Absolutely.
I mean, he is. But the caller's point was well made. This was a better hitting team when Dante Bichette was around, for whatever the reason. They were a better hitting team when Dante Bichette was around. This team's had Victor Martinez around the team. They've had Edwin Encarnacion around the team as well. But at the end of the day, you know, those aren't the guys holding the iPads in the dugout.
There's a lot of iPads.
There's a ton of iPads in the dugout.
There was, at one time, I saw four people lined up with iPads today.
I know.
I can understand what Danny Jansen's looking at.
Yeah, he's a catcher.
I understand what Kirky's looking at. You're trying to help each other out, and this guy's throwing you this, and that guy's throwing that, and try and set him up this way, and this is not working, and set up here, and you're setting up too soon. It's like a buddy thing. Everybody else, what's everybody else looking at? Like
watch the game.
Sometimes you can overthink it, and simplifying it seems too simple sometimes.
Billy and Markham, what's up, Billy?
Well, fellas, listen, to me, it's just very, very, very simple. The Jays just got schooled. It's that simple.
Good word.
The game of baseball is played one way. It should never change, and it will always be the same way. We didn't see anybody from the Baltimore Orioles swinging at 3-1 pitches, a foot and a half outside. We've seen a bunt laid down, which everybody seems to be totally against. Why aren't the Jays just trying something different? When John came to this team, he was hitting and running. They were bunting. They were doing the little things. This team just flat out got taken to the woodshed today on how you play good old-fashioned baseball. Our third baseman You take three called strikes, your first time up or second time up. I forget. What were you thinking going up to the plate? And by the way, guys, can we take that damn square off the TV?
Oh.
All I know is when I grew up playing baseball, you were taught if there is two strikes on you, you're swinging at anything close. I don't want to hear Dan Shulman say, well, that pitch was an inch outside. You got to be swinging at it anyways. This has just gotten out of hand with the Blue Jays. Toronto Blue Jay fans, listen to me. The Baltimore Orioles play the game the way we want the Toronto Blue Jays to play the game. I don't know what's going to happen the rest of the year. And, oh, by the way, guys, about that so-called 10-game, supposedly we're going to go 15-0. The Kansas City Royals are playing good baseball now. The Washington Nationals are playing good baseball. These aren't walkovers. It's just watch the Orioles, guys. Hope we can be that, and maybe we got a chance to make it to the playoffs.
Yeah.
This was an absolute ass-kicking. Simple as that.
Billy, I appreciate the call. I can't disagree.
Yeah, look, The John
Except
Snyder,
that schedule thing. That's the Red Sox schedule.
The John Snyder thing with the dudes that are underperforming. What are you going to do? You're not having George Springer, who's hitting cleanup, hitting running, or Button. Vladimir, they ain't Button. The 3, 4, 5 guys in the order ain't doing it. Like, until those three guys do something offensively when it comes to adjustments, Jeff said it. While Bo's out, it's up to those three guys to do whatever it is they have to do to make adjustments and help this team win baseball game.
416-870-0590. Having said that, I cannot disagree with Billy about watching the Orioles and watching the Blue Jays, and I'm almost getting Oriole envy. I am. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. We're here with you to the top of the hour. It's Jays Talk with Blair and Barker on the Sportsnet Radio Network and Sportsnet. All right, time now for the Major League Standings Watch presented by Bet365. You can download the Bet365 app and check out the latest odds for today's baseball games. 19 plus, play responsibly, Ontario only. It is that time. We will take a look around the American League East. I guess we almost have to transition into wild card watch at some point now that the American League East is basically, I mean, it's done. I think I can say it's done for the Blue Jays.
Yeah. Not sure I agree with
that. I said coming into this series they had to take 3 or 4 from the Orioles. The Orioles took 3 or 4 from them. So I'm going to say that
got 52 games left.
Yeah, I'm going to say that I'm going to say the Jays won't win the AL East. How about that? Ooh, go out on a limb, Jeff. The Baltimore Orioles are 67-42 with their win today. They have got a series against the Mets. Tampa Bay is 66-45. They've got the Detroit Tigers next. Kevin Barker's Blue Jays are 60-50. We mentioned they go off to Fenway Park to face the Boston Red Sox. The Red Sox are 7-0 against the Jays this year. Stay hot. The Red Sox are 57-51. The New York Yankees are 56-52. They've got the Houston Astros coming into town. It's really tough to see the Yankees in last place in the American League East right now.
Kind of fun, though.
Makes your heart bleed from the bottom down, doesn't it? 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. It's Jays Talk with Blair and Barker. The Jays, 6-1 losers to the Baltimore Orioles at the Rogers Center today. Pat in Calgary, you've got a question about the Jays' big off-season acquisition.
Hey, guys. I just want to say first, that's the first time I've ever agreed with Billy from Markham.
We love Billy.
We do.
Billy's our guy. Billy brings it, man.
Every once in a while, you need too. Billy.
I love him, too. I just wanted to say how frustrating it is that all off season we heard, we need left-handed bats, we need left-handed bats, we need left-handed bats. They get left-handed bats. They get rid of two premier right-handed hitters. And now it's, we need right-handed bats. We need right-handed bats. And you have Dalton Varsho up in the seventh inning in a crucial spot, and you're pinch-hitting Espinal for him.
Yeah.
Like, that's the guy that we were sold on is going to keep this offense afloat this year?
Yeah, listen, thanks for the call. Dalton Varsho, I mean, we have to look at it this way. The Jays weren't going to re-sign Lourdes Gurriel Jr. They wanted to improve their outfield defense. Bringing in a guy like Varsho gives you somebody who can play
run
center
prevention.
Field.
Yeah.
Run prevention was a big deal for this team. And, you know, if you remember how that series ended to Seattle last year, you could probably see why. Dalton Varsho is under control for a long time. Dalton Varsho was brought in to help this year and to be a piece for a couple of years down the road.
Not your cleanup hitter.
That was the plan. I still remember his dad. We had his dad on Blair and Barker, and we said,
the
hey.
First question I asked.
Yeah, did you ever think you see your son as a cleanup hitter? Nope. I'm shocked. There you go. Thanks, Dad. way to give the lad a vote of confidence. Santiago Espinal. Oh, I wish you hadn't mentioned him. I get back to this. The only reason Santiago Espinal was on this team this year was to provide depth for Bo Bichette in case he got hurt. Bo Bichette gets hurt, and they go out and get Paul DeJong. At this point, I haven't paid a great deal of attention to the AAA team, but at this point, if this is all I'm going to get out of guys like Espinal and Varsho, then you might as well bring up a guy like Davis Schneider who's hey, you know what? He's at AAA and he's putting up numbers. He's supposed to do that. Maybe look at guys like that. Maybe Spencer Horwitz. You know, Addison Barger, we watched him in spring training. The dude's a beast. He's going to hit a lot of long home runs. Let me rephrase that. He's going to hit long home runs. I don't know how many he's going to hit. At some point.
Why not?
Why not? And when that happens, I'm going to explode because I don't think that's what a team that was supposed to be a contender for the World Series was expected to do. You know, maybe you bring a guy up from the minors and he sparks the lineup. I mean, I don't necessarily believe in stuff like that. But again, if this is all I'm getting out of guys, then the trade deadline's passed, then change it up. I mean, you already changed the batting order.
Yeah,
you already changed the lineup.
Why the Orioles came in here and kicked the Blue Jays' butt was because their superstars were their superstars.
Oh, yeah.
They got the big hit when they were supposed to get the big hit. It's easier to do those moves when your superstars of the Blue Jays lineup is being the superstars that we all thought they could be, and they're not being that. So, yeah, these are nice moves. You want to bring a guy up, bring a guy up. But until the fact is, the big three, you can put him without Bo now because he's injured. In the middle of that order, doesn't start doing something, does it really matter? Like because they're going to be the dudes that are coming up in the first and sixth inning when it matters the most. And until they start getting big-time hits, that's the thing, right? Does it really matter?
Josh in Bowmanville.
Good day, lads.
How are you?
Good. Still frustrated about the runners in scoring position, like last time we spoke. But something I'm actually a little bit more concerned about, guys. I don't know if you're seeing what I'm seeing, but it looks like 1 through 9, they're walking up to the plate defeated before the first pitch is even thrown at them, especially if they go strike down the middle of the plate. Mr. Blair, you ever seen anything like this in all your years of covering the sport? And Mr. Barker, you ever been on a team where the morale is this low? And what do you do to change something like this? Because I'm just seeing a bunch of defeated guys.
I'm going to hand it over to Kevin.
Yeah, you get hits. I mean, it's a simple answer. The defeated part, I'm not real sure about that. I there is little dread of, I see who's standing at second, and I know the issues that we've had because every time they turn the TV on and the radio on, somebody's talking about it, and obviously they've talked about it. That's why they're moving the order around, trying to get guys on base and putting Brandon Belt in front of Vladdy, and like it's been talked about. They're trying to fix it. They're trying to do everything they can do to get the right guy up at the right time. The only easy fix to this is what Blair's been saying. One of the big guys has got to start being the big guy. And until it's like Santander got the grand slam after the three walks. That's what it takes. He walks to the plate. He's hitting third. He gets it down and gets it singing. And then it's like everybody else is just like, hey, he did it. Now let's go up and have a fun at bat. Instead of everybody walking up because that dude didn't do it, now I have to do it. Well, maybe I'm not good at it.
I'm gonna say this. The takeaway from this series for me, and the caller's point was well made about the body language that we saw at the Blue Jays. I'm not a, I mean, I don't know. body language. I shouldn't even use that word. As far as whether or not I've seen worse lineups, I've covered the Blue Jays and the Expos for a lot of years. So, yeah, I've seen teams that haven't
been
able to.
I've been on teams way worse than this.
But I will say this.
Way worse.
The takeaway. I actually remember watching one of those teams, come to think of it. The takeaway for me from this isn't so much what I saw from the Blue Jays. It's what I saw from the Orioles. I saw a team, you know, they're playing free. I saw a team that didn't appear to be. I mean, this is the biggest series of the year, I think, for the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
The Orioles looked like they knew it was a big series for the Blue Jays. They looked comfortable at the plate. You know,
wow,
Caleb Joseph also made the point. I mean, there was, and I understand if you're a Blue Jays pitcher and you're not getting any run support, you're not going to necessarily try to move guys' feet and all that, but the Orioles looked awfully comfortable. Like Ryan Mountcastle, it looked like he might as well just have put a bedroll down and slept at home plate. He looked so comfortable.
If Vladdy would have hit a 3-run homer in the first inning, that game would have been totally different.
Maybe.
No, there's no maybe.
Maybe.
No, there's no maybe. Maybe. It would have absolutely been that way. Whenever you score first, everybody just exhales, walk up, and have their at bat.
I think we're kind of
underestimating
the Orioles.
Instead of going first inning exactly the way it's been.
The Orioles are still a better team.
Well, absolutely. They're the best team in the American League.
That's it for us today. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Crown Rust Protection. New and used vehicle prices are rising and inventory is scarce. Avoid the hassle of buying prematurely by making your vehicle last longer with Crown Rust Protection. For a special summer offer on rust protection, visit crown.com today. Thank you for joining us on Jays Talk with Blair and Barker.